Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans chapter 13. Title of our lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 21 verse 11, where the question is asked, "Watchmen, what of the night?" Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that we can gather at least in this form. We pray, Lord, that it will be of encouragement to those that have been able to take the time to watch. And Lord, we ask that your name would be honored and glorified. And Lord, as we look into the Holy Scriptures, may they be encouraging to each and every one of us. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. If you would, the book of Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, point number one, if you're taking notes, the night is far spent. Watchmen, what of the night? We probably all had a night where we tossed and turned and we just couldn't get comfortable. Or if you've been like me, I've of late been dreaming a similar dream almost every night, and it's very disturbing. And sometimes you just think, whoa, why am I dreaming that? But work for the night is coming. When man's work is o'er. Book of Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. Paul writing to the believers there at Rome, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." The night is far spent. We don't know how long we have to walk this planet. Some will walk to their 50s, others to 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and occasionally we'll hear of somebody who will actually get into the hundreds. But in our personal walk, the night is far spent, and we need to be prepared. It tells us to wake up. Point number two is the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. James chapter 5, if you would, please. James chapter 5. The Lord is at hand, for the Lord is coming. I have, from a young teenager, listened with interest to first my dad and others talk about the coming of the Lord. Now, I do realize that many believe in a pre-trib rapture. But it would probably surprise you that there's a lot of people that find that they don't believe in a tribulation rapture at all. Some believe we've already been through the tribulation, and we're just awaiting the millennial reign. But the Bible does have some very interesting thoughts about our Lord. And it says here in James chapter 5, verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Now, we need to understand that our time and the Lord's time is not the same time. It tells us in Peter that a thousand years is as a day, and a day is a thousand years. So obviously, his time schedule is not ours. In fact, God doesn't know time. Time is something for humans. It's interesting that even though there are those who, of course, want to proclaim evolution, our week is based on the 7 days of creation. In fact, every week, when we begin the new week on Sunday, cries out, that God created the heavens and the earth. But he is coming back. He has a plan, a set time in which he will return. And so the question will be asked, are we ready? Are we prepared? What if it were today? What if it were tonight? I went and got a watermelon for tomorrow. What if it's before we eat that watermelon? Of course, I remember when watermelons were fantastic. You probably remember those days too. And you spit out the black seeds and the water from the watermelon dribbled down your chin. Today, I don't think they let them ripen long enough. But what if we don't get to cut that watermelon and enjoy it tomorrow? Well, for the believer, oh, we're going to have far better things to eat than watermelon. And number three, he cometh quickly. Revelation 22, Revelation 22, if you would, please. Revelation 22, and we'll look at two different verses. Speed is not easily judged on television. A number of years ago, Dr. Mark and Judy Fleming gave Don and myself a couple of tickets to see the Detroit Red Wings play. In fact, to tell you how long ago it was, Fedorov was still on the team. And it was about three rows up from the ice. And the first thing I noticed was how fast these guys were skating. On television, of course, the camera moves with the player, and so you don't see how fast it is. But those guys really skate fast. I was reading also about a man. He and his son were given two tickets to go to the Bristol Speedway. And they had never been to a NASCAR race, and so they said yes, and the tickets allowed them to go to one of the suites where they were able to eat and enjoy a good meal. And so as the race continued, they worked their way down through the grandstand and worked their way to the fence as these cars went whipping by. And he said it literally took his breath away, the sound and the smell of the rubber and the speed of the cars. May I say this? When he returns, it will be quick. And people will not be able to prepare for it because it's going to come so quickly. But Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." Now, for some of us, we're wondering, when, Lord? When are you going to come? We're waiting. Revelation 22, verse 20. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." But there in verse 12, we not only notice that Jesus says, "I come quickly," but he also says that he is going to bring his rewards with him. Have you ever pondered what you will receive? What crowns will you be able to lay at his feet? What will we be able to give back to the Lord? That's an interesting question, isn't it? But he clearly says, "My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Now, we at a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church preach that we are not saved by works, that we are saved by faith through grace. But our works show our salvation. The fact that we want to honor our Lord through what we do. And those works will be judged and rewards will be given accordingly. And number four, therefore, let us not sleep. If you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, physical sleep is essential. The fact of the matter is, if you try to keep up and stay awake for a long period of time, you will fall asleep. It will happen. A number of years ago, some friends of ours were traveling from the state of Washington coming to Michigan. And as they were coming across Montana, the sun was rising. And now you can imagine what it's like to drive into the rising sun. And they'd been driving for quite a while. They had kept switching drivers. And as one of them was sleeping in the back seat, the other was awake in the front seat until she wasn't. And she goes, she didn't even realize she had fallen asleep. There was an accident and the police pulled, came up. You know, you will fall asleep. So physical sleep is essential. But spiritual sleep is wrong. It's inappropriate. And it's unprofitable. It doesn't accomplish anything when we are spiritually asleep. We need to be on guard. We need to watch and be prepared. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the helmet of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. When we talk of the tribulation period, we are not set for a time of wrath, but we will have an escape. Just as Noah built an ark, so that they were they escaped the flood. The Lord has prepared a place for us that are believers, and he will come and he will take us home. And I must admit, I'm looking forward to that time. And I can tell by your shaking of heads that yes, you agree with it also. And number 5, but watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. We are encouraged to pray. In 1 Thessalonians, we're to pray without ceasing. Over and over again, we are encouraged to pray and to bring supplications to our Lord. 1 Peter, if you would, please, chapter 4. 1 Peter, chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 7. Our Lord, as you know, took the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. And you remember the story. He asked them to pray. He knew that Judas was coming. He knew that the trials were right around the corner. He knew that the beatings were coming, the scourgings, the mocking, the plucking of his beard, the planting of the thorns upon his head. And he asked the disciples to pray. Luke 22:40 says, pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. Well, they didn't pray. They slept. And when it came time to stand with the Lord, because they had not prepared themselves, they deserted him. We're to pray so that when we come into the hard times of life, we'll be able to stand. Matthew 26:40 says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? When the Lord asked for their support and backing, they slept and slumbered. If you would, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Prayer. We need to pray. Pray daily. I do hope that this Thursday we can gather together and pray. I do hope that you will make it a priority to come out. Not for me as a pastor, but as a church. I hope that we come out and we can pray together. Number six, looking for the glorious appearing of our Lord. Titus, if you would please. Titus chapter 2. Looking for the glorious appearing of our Lord. We'll begin reading at verse 11. Titus 2, 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and unworldly lusts, and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for this blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Notice it says that he redeemed us from all iniquity and he purified us unto himself, a peculiar people. If we could have done the job, he would not have needed to come and die. But we couldn't do the job. And we are to look for the glorious appearing of our Lord. Have you ever been waiting, looking for something or someone? The other day, I was waiting for Rudy. And you know how it is, you're waiting, and in this case, I'm looking for a black pickup truck. Do you realize how many black pickup trucks there are? You know, it can be a little bit frustrating sometimes, waiting and looking. And sometimes we think, Lord, we've waited. I remember when a pastor said that the Lord would return before 2000. Well, he didn't. Personally, I believe it could be anytime soon. In the next 5-10 years, don't be surprised if the Lord returns. What a glorious time that is. You're traveling down the road, and maybe it's I-75 heading south, or you're heading in a different direction, and it's growing late, and you have a reservation at a inn, and you have the exit number, and you're anxiously waiting to see the sign. Usually on the freeway, they'll say at this exit, certain hotels are there, certain gas stations, certain restaurants, and you're looking for yours. My son works for Country Inn and Suites, and we've stayed at a number of them on our trips, and you look for it. Well, we need to be looking for the Lord's return. Could be any time. We're excited about it. If you would, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we look at verse 8. We were in 2 Timothy this morning, and we did read verse 8, but we're going to read it again tonight. Notice Paul writing after he said that he had fought a good fight and finished his course and had kept the faith. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, now notice, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That we love his appearing. Are you looking forward to his coming again? We should be. It'll be an exciting time. Number seven. When we shall be caught up to meet him in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Have you ever wondered what you would like preached at your funeral? I definitely want to have Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 read at my funeral. But I also want from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 read at my funeral. Whoever does it. And if they're not doing it, and the funeral seems to be coming to an end, I hope you'll stand up and say, wait a minute, you're not done yet. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. In this case, the word asleep means to have died. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Many people are looking for comfort in our society today. They have been, well, told for too long that we could, if not careful, we could get the disease and wow, who knows, we could even die. And so there is a need for comfort. But may I say this spiritually, are you comforted by the fact that the Lord can be your Savior? That if you know Him as your Lord and Savior, we have that comfort? But if you don't know Him as your Savior, you can come to know Him even tonight, asking Him to save your soul. We know that the Bible repeatedly tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we know that He has provided the gift of salvation to those that believe. And this should bring comfort to us. We will close with John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we'll read verses 1 through 3. We mentioned earlier that the Lord had taken the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Now, I believe He went there purposely because He knew that Judas would come looking for Him there, and that's exactly what happened. And Jesus knows what lays ahead. He knows the trials that He will endure. He knows the beating, the mocking, even the crucifixion. He knows that's coming. And yet He's concerned about His disciples. He's concerned. Verse 1 of John 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." May I say here that in listening to certain people on talk radio, you can tell those who have comfort and peace of mind in the Lord and those who don't. The ones that don't, they spread the fear factor. But we that know Christ as our Savior, we know that He will bring us peace and He will bring us comfort. But let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Here we can say there's a prepared place for prepared people. Are you prepared to meet your Maker? Are you ready? And verse 3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." When was He coming again? We don't know. Some thought that He would come before 2000. Some believe that it could be in another few years. Some even believe that it could be any day now that this COVID-19 virus is just the opening of the door to the next part of the prophecies of the Bible. Time will tell. But the Lord is in control. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in the Lord, believe that He is in control. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your love, your mercy, for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for that unspeakable gift. And Lord, we pray as we await the glorious return of our Lord, that when He comes, You'll find us faithful. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.